This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. We've been following the developments around the coronavirus, which as of today has a new name, COVID-19. While there are still no confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the islands, a Hawaii resident was put into mandatory quarantine yesterday after arriving from China's Hubei province. This follows federal guidelines to quarantine anyone who has visited Hubei in the last 14 days, the length of time that it takes to show symptoms. There's also 26 people who recently visited China in self-quarantine, either at home or at a hotel. It's a mix of visitors and local residents, and the State Department of Health contacts them daily. The State Department of Health Director Bruce Anderson, State Epidemiologist Dr. Sarah Park, and Lieutenant Governor Josh Green spoke at a news conference about the quarantine yesterday afternoon. The Lieutenant Governor said the state is monitoring the spread of the virus and will adjust to the situation.
We have to be prepared long-term, and we also will have to be flexible, because if this becomes a global pandemic, it will change everything. It will change all of our capacity in every jurisdiction across the country and world on how you deal with an epidemic like that. But for now, this is also a good test for us to put an individual into the federal quarantine at the base to make sure we can give them perfect services, to make sure that they are comfortable and safe. And if they were to get sick, we have excellent hospitals, each of which are capable of providing the full testing and care because of the hard work that Dr. Park and Dr. Anderson have done these last few days. So we are completely capable to handle whatever medical concern there is. It's highly likely that this individual will ride out 14 days and will then return to their regular life. But we don't want to take any risk or make any exceptions until we can respond to what the virus is globally. So we're being very safe.
Hilton Rathel is the CEO of the Healthcare Association of Hawaii. We sat down with him last week to talk about whether our facilities statewide are ready to deal with an outbreak if it were to happen here. The risk is low, but we also wondered if neighbor islands should remain on guard, even though international flights mainly come through Honolulu.
We all know how the airlines work. You can hop from city to city. And so is it possible that it could come into Hawaii? Yes, it's possible. And would it only come exclusively through the international airport? No. I mean, it could come through one of our neighboring islands as well.
Okay. And if there is a situation where we've got a case and someone needs to be hospitalized and maybe, I don't know, brought over here to Honolulu if there be a need, how does that work?
Well, we wouldn't necessarily have to bring a case to Honolulu even if there was a suspected case. So there is screening going on at the airports, and basically the screening consists of two parts. The first part is, do you have any respiratory symptoms? Do you have signs of the flu? Do you have a temperature? Are you coughing? Are you sneezing? So that's the first one. And then, have you been to China, or have you been in close contact with someone who was in China or has been infected? So they are the two different components. Now, if there is a suspected case of the flu, of the novel coronavirus, it doesn't mean that they have it. It could just be the flu, and it's actually much more likely that they actually have the flu than they have the novel coronavirus. But if it is suspected, then there would be screening done at the airport, and if necessary, if it was determined there was a suspected case of the novel coronavirus, the patient then would be transported via ambulance to a hospital. Now, when you say transported, they would just be transported in a normal manner. You don't need any special equipment. They would put a mask on the patient to stop the spread of any airborne germs. But they do not need to be in any other type of, the paramedic personnel, for example, do not need to have on full body suits or anything like that. They would just take normal screening precautions, and then the patient would be transported to a hospital. All of the major hospitals across the state, including on the neighbor islands, do have negative isolation rooms or negative pressure isolation rooms. So while a patient is being evaluated, a patient can be held in a negative pressure isolation room. And again, they would be treated by staff. The staff at all the hospitals have all the necessary precautions. If it was a suspected case, the Department of Health would be notified, and the Department of Health would take control or at least have some control. If the patient is really sick, they could be kept in the hospital. If they're just showing mild symptoms and it was a suspected case of the novel coronavirus, The patient could be isolated at home, or if they are a visitor, they would be isolated to the hotel room. And the Department of Health would be checking on that patient, whether they're at home or whether they're in a hotel room. They would be checking on them on a daily basis, if not more frequently, just to make sure they would be doing a video check to make sure the patient's where they are supposed to be, and that they are being confined for that potential incubation period, which is right now that it's up to about 14 days is what they the normal isolation period is for up to 14 days.
So if someone is, let's say, in a hotel room, I know there are probably questions about, well, you know, how does that work for like airflow, air conditioning, whether, you know, what's the difference between that and, let's say, in a special
negative pressure isolation room. Yeah. Again, if a person is really sick, they would be confined to a hospital in one of these specialized rooms. And all of our major hospitals across the state, and we have them on all the major islands, so on Oahu, on Kauai, on Maui, on the Big Island, we do have the negative pressure isolation rooms. So, if they are really sick, they would be confined to one of those rooms. However, if it was just a suspected case, right, then they would either be isolated either at home or, again, a visitor in a hotel room. Now, they would be asked, you know, to stay there. You can bring food in. You know, people would bring food in. The patient would have the suspected patient would have a mask on at all times. And generally, what they recommend is that you would change that mask about four times a day, about every 6 hours. So you would just change the patient or the suspected patient would actually have a mask on, so that if they do have the virus, they're not projecting, all those droplets are not being projected out into the environment.
I do want to talk more about the masks and the effectiveness of that, but also the kit that would determine whether or not we have a positive case. Because right now, if we do swab people, we've got to send the results or the specimens back to lab on the mainland.
Yes, that is correct. So if a case was suspected, you'd take two swabs. One of them would be to test for the flu, and the other one would be to test for the novel coronavirus. But up until essentially today, the only place on the U.S. that could actually test for this, the novel coronavirus, is the CDC lab in Atlanta, Georgia. So obviously that takes time. I mean, you've got to FedEx it over there, you've got to ship it over there, then it goes into a queue, then you've got to wait for the results to come back. So it's literally a matter of days. Now, the reason that the CDC lab in Atlanta is the only place that has a testing, again, is because this is a new virus. And so they have been working on developing test kits, and my understanding is that they're about to be shipped out to a number of cities across the U.S. Now, when that happens, even when the test kits come out, the local lab, and we have a very, very good lab here in Hawaii, would still need to go through their own testing, make sure they put the protocols in place, and they're okay with that. So it may take a few days for them before they're ready to actually start testing. Once they get the kits, go through that protocol to make sure that they are, that everything's working okay, then they can actually start testing, and you can get the results back then in about 4 hours.
Okay, but there's still that ramp-up time.
That is correct, yes.
Okay, and then my understanding is that not only the Department of Health lab might get it, but potentially Tripler, because if there is a facility isolating people, let's say on the military bases, that they might need.
Yeah, they could potentially do that. But again, the lab here is in, we do have a very, very good lab here in Hawaii, and they could test for any suspected cases on anywhere on the islands, including at Tripler if necessary.
Okay, so let's get back to talking about the masks, because we're seeing them more. I was at Ala Moana Shopping Center. A clerk had it. A number of people in Waikiki, Japanese tourists, just, you know, nervous. Chinese tourists, I don't know. They were just, maybe some psychological reassurance that they're doing everything they can to make sure they don't get sick?
Well, the general recommendation is, and we as an association are working very, very closely with the Department of Health. We're in daily contact with them, and then they're in daily, if not more frequent, contact with the CDC. So there is very, very frequent and effective communication going on. The general recommendation from the Department of Health and the CDC is that the surgical masks that people typically wear, that, you know, you see them around on people have been wearing them for years, right? Especially a lot of Asian tourists travel with surgical masks. The surgical masks are much more effective if you actually are sick. If you have a flu, if you have a cold, Or if you were to have the novel coronavirus, then the surgical masks actually stop the spread or help stop the spread of the disease or the pathogens. However, if you are healthy and are wandering around and you were to come into somewhat close contact with someone who has a flu, the regular surgical masks are not very effective at all at protecting against airborne disease, because the viruses, which are very, very small, can go through the mask. And also the regular surgical mask that people wear, it's a very loose fit. So there's gaps around the cheeks, there's gaps around your nose. And so those are areas where if there were to be a pathogen in the air, the flu or whatever, it can fairly easily get inside, you know, get into someone. So again, the regular surgical masks are much more effective for people who are sick, to so that they stop spreading disease. And if they sneezing or if they droplets, the mask will catch those. But it's far less effective at stopping people from actually getting sick or being, if they're in the vicinity of someone who is sick.
So it might be a false sense of security.
It is a false sense of security. Yeah. And that's why, for example, even the airlines and the hotels, they're not recommending that their staff actually wear these masks because of that that particular mask. Now, there are much more effective masks, you know, high-level masks, more expensive masks with different types of ratings for different type of conditions that will actually do that screening out. But because they are thicker materials and the more expensive, it's actually harder to breathe. You know, it's not something that a person would normally wear, especially if they're out walking or exercising or doing things like that. So
they get awful hot.
they do get very hot, right. And so yes, there are effective masks out there that will screen against these pathogens, but it's not recommended that the average person wear a mask or need to wear a mask.
People are so focused on this right now, but we are kind of in the middle of flu season, and you know, people have been urged to get their flu shot.
We would absolutely recommend that people get their flu shots and take basic screening measures, which is, you know, wash your hands frequently. Don't touch your unwashed hands up against your nose, mouth, and eyes, because that's how the pathogen can get in. But in terms of the flu, you're absolutely correct that the flu is a much bigger issue across the U.S. and around the world right now. For example, this flu season, there is 19 million confirmed cases of the illness across the U.S. There are 180,000 hospitalizations and 10,000 deaths. So let me just say that one more time. This flu season, just the influenza, right? And it's not a particularly bad one, but this particular flu season, there are 19 million confirmed cases of illness across the U.S., 180,000 hospitalizations, and 10,000 deaths. Now, that's just this flu season to date. So the flu season's not over. So in terms of an illness or the potential of getting sick, the flu is a much, much more active and influential influenza than the novel coronavirus.
Okay, so just some perspective there, as we can, because there's a lot of hand wringing going on. You know, a lot of stress.
Well, there is, and you know, it is. We understand why the public is concerned about this. It is a new virus, and so there's no vaccine. It's anticipated that at best it may be a year before there's a vaccine out there for it. So at this point in time, you know, it's because it is new, it's a new strain of the flu. You know, it's not like a different disease. It is a different strain of the flu. There are other coronaviruses out there. They've called this one, for want of a better label, the novel coronavirus, but some people are saying maybe they should call it the Wuhan coronavirus because of where it originated. But that's what they're calling. So there are other coronaviruses out there. This one they're calling the novel coronavirus. This is the latest version of the coronavirus. And we may, a few years from now or next year, there may be another version that comes out as well. So we just don't know. In Hawaii, we're very, very well prepared. As I said, our hospitals are very well prepared. There are screening protocols that are going on at the airport. All the hospitals across the state, including the neighbor islands, are screening visitors. And they're asking those questions again. You know, do you have flu-like symptoms? And if you do, have you traveled to China or have you been in close contact with someone who's traveled to China? So to date, we have no confirmed cases. And not only that, we have no even suspected cases of this particular virus. So We are very, very well prepared. If there were to be an outbreak, we have backup. You know, we have our first line of defense, which is our hospitals. They're all very well prepared. The staff are all trained. They're on alert for this, obviously, because everyone's hearing about it every day. In addition to that, if there were to be an outbreak, and we don't believe there will be, our emergency services personnel, we do have backup supplies of equipment. We have backup supplies of masks, suits, all the different types of things that we need. So in Hawaii, we're very, very fortunate. We're very, very well prepared. And it may come here, but if it does come, we are well prepared to deal with it.
That was Hilton Raitho, President and CEO of the Healthcare Association of Hawaii, talking about our state of readiness in light of the coronavirus outbreak in China, now known as COVID-19.